May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. So, Patricia, I want you to have a look at my stole. I'm so glad to see you here this morning. Mm-hmm. Do you see these things on here? Mm-hmm. They're special symbols. They're kind of neat, eh? Mm-hmm. And this is the Alpha and the Omega, cool, which we heard about in our reading today. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love you too, sweetie. On Wednesday evenings, a group of us has been discussing a wonderful book by Rowan Williams, who is the former Archbishop of Canterbury. It's called Being Christian. It's only 4 chapters long, and in it, he talks specifically about 4 things: baptism, the Bible, the Eucharist, and prayer. Foundational stuff for practicing Anglicans. And it's been enlightening, allowing us to engage in wonderful discussion and sharing. This past Wednesday evening, we spent time with chapter 2, the Bible. And I just want to share a thought or two with you that we enjoy discussing on Wednesday. How, for instance, the Bible is helpful for us today, even though it is recounting stories and histories from 2,000 to 5,000 years ago. When you read the Bible, context is crucial, of course. Grasping the culture and norms and politics of the times in which these stories occurred. But there's more. Rowan Williams says, a Bible story is inescapably about history. It is about how things came into being and how those things that came into being are still shaping you here and now as a Christian. Reading the Bible is about building analogies between then and now and recognizing in them your story. In other words, what do the stories and the people or characters in them tell us about ourselves? Who are we? Who are you in the story? So perhaps keep that in mind as we delve into our first reading from Acts. Acts 11 is titled Peter's Report to the Church in Jerusalem. Big snorer, how could this story, which was written 30 to 50 years after the death and resurrection of Jesus, be relevant to us today? First, a bit of context. It is the apostolic age, which began after Jesus' death and resurrection and lasted till the end of the first century. It's a critical time in the initial formation, growth and development of the early church. And Peter, among many others, have been traveling about spreading the word and sharing his personal experience and witness of Jesus Christ. So he returns to Jerusalem, essentially the head office of the early church, to tell them how it's going, what's been happening. Essentially, he's making a field report to the church leaders in Jerusalem, where James, Jesus' brother, is more or less the CEO. Well, Peter makes his report to James and the rest, and they're not too happy with some of what he's sharing. Their first response is to chastise him for hanging out and eating with these Gentiles, the uncircumcised, the unclean. Remember, this is early days for the church, and the early followers were overwhelmingly Jewish to begin with. So not surprising that a lot of Jewish cultural practices were still very prevalent among those who were known as the Way. The term Christian hadn't come about yet. It was how they had grown up, what they had been taught, what they were accustomed to. It was their heritage. So if it was understood, if you want to be a member of our club, well, you get the picture. Non-Jews who became followers were expected to undergo Jewish rituals like circumcision and adhere to Jewish practices like being careful of what they ate and with whom they were eating. Defilement was still a big deal. Non-Jews almost had to become Jews first in order to join the new Jewish sect that followed the way of Jesus. Anyway, Peter had some splaining to do, because that's not how he had been operating on his last mission. Quite the opposite. He's been hanging out, even eating with them, uncircumcised, non-Jews, unclean people. Shocking. But it turns out Peter has the best reason ever. God told him it was okay. God told him it was okay. He shares with the church leaders a vision he had, which I'm sure when you heard the reading this morning kind of sounded a bit bizarre, right? A large sheet is lowered from heaven, full of creatures that are considered ritually unclean for consumption by Jews. Yet God's voice tells them, go ahead, kill, eat. And in the vision, Peter strongly refuses. Blech, no way. Nothing profane or unclean has ever entered my mouth. He's been a good Jew all of his life. And God's reply, well, if I created it, how can it be unclean? It's a very timely vision, because right after that, three Gentiles come to see him. Their master, a non-Jew, but one who worshiped God still. They were known as God-fearers. He's also received a vision in which God instructed him to send some men to fetch Peter, bring him back to his home so the entire household could hear the word and be saved. And Peter goes willingly, because God has made it clear to him that it's okay. And what are Peter's first words when he delivers the good news message to the household? I truly understand that God shows no partiality. He accepts anyone who has respect for him and does what is right. And lo and behold, the Holy Spirit came to everyone there, and Peter felt compelled to baptize them all. He reasoned, can anyone withhold water from baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? Just as we have. Now, this whole episode actually is recounted in Acts chapter 10, just before our reading today from chapter 11. But if it sounds vaguely familiar, you're not wrong. The episode is so important that by reading chapters 10 and 11 together, we would hear it twice, back to back. First, the recounting as it happened to Peter in chapter 10, and then retelling it to the heads of the church in Jerusalem in chapter 11. It's that important, because what followed was critical to the growth of this fledgling church. It is a pivotal event. For those church leaders, at first resistant and chastising, are moved to understanding also. And as we heard at the end of our Acts lesson this morning, when they heard what Peter had to tell them, they were silenced. And they praised God, saying, then God has given even to the Gentiles the repentance that leads to life, not just for us Jews, for everyone. What did we sing this morning? All are welcome. Peter had done really just what Jesus commissioned really in our gospel reading today. Just as I have loved you, you should also love one another. It's by this everyone will know that you are my disciples. Peter was open to God's tap on his shoulder to go back to the fundamentals. And weighing these against the deeply rooted cultural and worldly norms that had for so long heavily influenced thinking, his thinking and being, he was able to shift, to change. And the church experienced a massive change as a result. Can you imagine how the life of the church might have unfolded if the community had remained closed, cliquey, rigid? We might not even be worshiping here together today. But because of it, Christianity was able to spread around the entire world. Here's something I read this week, and I'm sorry I couldn't go back and find who the original source was from, but God does not create religion. Humans do. God created the world and all living and life-giving things in it. God will disrupt and interrupt the boundaries humans construct. So, where might we see ourselves in this story? Do we identify with Peter? How might we respond when God intervenes to tell us something? Or do we identify with the devout Gentile who sent his messengers to Peter because he was seeking to know God more? Or perhaps with James and the others in Jerusalem who were still bound by tradition, entrenched with what was familiar and comfortable and feeling very right in their views. How do we define unclean? We do it many ways, consciously or unconsciously. The us and them mentality is really tough to shake. Educated, uneducated, immigrant, non-immigrant, working, employed, street people, homeowners, white collar, blue collar, gay, straight, male, female, you name it. And lately, maskers, unmaskers, vaxxers, the unvaxxed. It's hard to soften our positions when we feel very right about something, isn't it? But Jesus could not be clearer. It is not by our theological correctness, not by our moral purity, not by our impressive knowledge that everyone will know that we are his disciples. It is quite simply by our loving acts. Acts that point to the love of God for the world made known in Jesus Christ, where there is no partiality and where all are welcome. Where do we see ourselves in the story? A story that turned out to be about transformational change for the kingdom of God. When it comes to change, some people welcome it. In my youth, I loved the distraction and excitement of something new and different. I got bored very easily. Some folks hate change. The predictable, the routine, the constancy are secure and comforting, reassuring, safe, non-threatening. I do admit I'm tending to lean a little more that way as I'm aging. But I think I'm safe to say that what almost all of us don't welcome is change that is foisted upon us, change that we don't ask for or desire, but are forced to accept. Transitioning to new and different ways that are not of our own choosing can be ridiculously challenging, painful, frustrating, discouraging, and scary. But change, when it leads to transformation and new ways of being, while still scary at times, can be the biggest blessing of all. The Bible indeed has great wisdom for us, written long ago, but no less meaningful for us today. if we ask that important question, who am I in the story? And what is it telling me about myself? I also love what Father Greg mentioned on Wednesday evening. Remember also that the Bible is like a letter from God to his beloved. I can't remember the source for that. Pardon? Kierkegaard. Thank you. The Bible is like a letter from God to his beloved. Who are you in the story? First and foremost, a beloved child of God. I'm so glad that the one who made me and loves me still writes to me all the time. So perhaps in advance of next Sunday, spend some time with the readings that will be shared. You'll find them in last week's and this week's bulletins. Become familiar with them so you're not hearing them for the very first time on Sunday morning. And perhaps you may have a revelation or some more insight, asking yourself, who am I in the story? Amen.